She stepped into his dimly lit bedroom, his sanctuary turned trap, her eyes steady, lips curling into a seduction he told himself he'd never fall for. He remembered the ethical codes, never cross that line, but night after guided session, they tangled closer. She led him gently, first to the mattress, then to share secrets that were never part of therapy. She whispered she'd lost a baby, leaning into him as if he could save her. When he tried to pull away, she cried out, accusing him of abandonment, of betrayal. He began to dread the calls, the meetings, every inch of control slipping from his professional hands. Then came the false claim. She was pregnant, and his refusal was more than cold. It was criminal. A lawsuit for sexual misconduct, threatening his licensure, reputation, career. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The first session, Dr. Mark Renner believed in boundaries. He wore them like armor, pressed slacks, collared shirts, an office that smelled faintly of bergamot and structure. He practiced in an affluent corner of Santa Monica with a clientele that reflected the zip code: lawyers, actors, executives, wives of CEOs. Some needed medication management. Others wanted someone who listened but didn't interrupt. Most were predictable. And then she walked in. Jade Colburn, 28. Curves sharp enough to wound. Confidence manufactured and magnetic. She didn't knock, just opened the door, stepped in, and smiled like she owned the room. "I'm not crazy," she said before she even sat down. Mark glanced up from his notepad, already noting the rehearsed nature of her entrance. "That's a good start," she smirked. "Depends on who you ask." She wore red lipstick, an off-shoulder black top, and jeans too tight for comfort, but somehow perfect for performance. Everything about her felt curated, right down to the chipped polish on her pinky finger. Trauma in heels. Mark was used to trauma, but not like this. The session began with vague references to an ex-boyfriend, a controlling father, a series of poor decisions wrapped in casual bravado. "I'm here because my lawyer said, candles, no incense, no soft jazz in the background." Dr. Mark Renner had stripped it all away. Even the clock on the wall ticked with mute hands. He didn't want his patients feeling relaxed. He wanted them aware, present, honest. Mark had changed. The suspension gave him time to think, to read, to lose faith in his former self and rebuild something colder, sharper, more clinical. And then she walked in. Not Jade, but close. Her name was Erin Shaw, mid-30s, olive skin, straight black hair. Blazer, slacks, no makeup. Her voice was low, calm, deliberate. She filled out her intake forms in silence. No extra eye contact, no perfume. Mark appreciated that. He glanced at the sheet. Reason for visit? Anxiety? Sleeplessness? Inability to connect? He welcomed her and motioned to the chair, not the couch. Never again. "So, what brought you here today, Erin?" She exhaled deeply. "A pattern. One I'm tired of repeating." Mark nodded slowly. He understood patterns. Over the next 3 weeks, Erin became his most consistent patient. She showed up early. She spoke clearly. She even challenged him, but respectfully. Mark admired her emotional discipline. Unlike Jade, Erin didn't flirt. She didn't overshare. She didn't play to the room. She was honest. And honesty, Mark realized, was terrifying, because something about Aaron's stability made him aware of how unstable he still was. Flashbacks came at night. He'd wake in a sweat, breath shallow. In the dream, Jade stood outside his bedroom, whispering through the door, "You can't help anyone. You couldn't even help me." He'd sit up, heart racing. His therapist, yes, he had one now, told him this was residual trauma, and professional violation syndrome. Mark called it something else. Guilt. Week 4, with Erin. A breakthrough. She talked about her ex-boyfriend, controlling, charismatic, always gaslighting her into thinking she was the problem. "I lost myself," she said, "and I didn't realize how far gone I was until I found an email he wrote to his new girlfriend, calling me a trial run." Mark blinked. Jade once called herself that too. A warm-up girlfriend. He shifted in his chair. Erin noticed. "Did I say something wrong?" "No," he said. "Just familiar." He reviewed her file that night just to be sure. Nothing alarming. No known connections to Jade. No oddities in insurance or background. But Mark couldn't shake the feeling. Was this paranoia or instinct? Then it happened, a small thing. Subtle. At the end of session 5, Erin paused at the door. "I feel safe here," she said, hand on the knob. Mark nodded. "That's the goal." She smiled faintly. "I don't usually feel safe around men. But you remind me of someone I used to trust." He forced a smile. "I hope that's a good thing." "It is," she said. "Until it isn't." And then she left. That night, Mark called Val. "I think it's happening again," he said. Val was quiet on the other end. "Does she know about Jade?" "Not unless she dug through licensing records." Val sighed. "So what are you going to do?" Mark stared at the blank wall of his bedroom. "Terminate therapy," he said, "before anything gets twisted." Val's voice was steady. "Good. But document everything." He hung up and didn't sleep. The next session. Mark prepared the paperwork, a formal transfer of care, an apology, a list of referred therapists. He delivered it at the start of the session. Erin read it in silence. Then she looked up, her face blank. "You think I'm her, don't you?" "I think this is best for both of us," he said. She stood slowly. Then, unexpectedly, she smiled. "I'm not her. But you're still you." She left without another word. Later that week, a letter arrived at his office. No return address. Inside, a photo of Jade, smiling, holding a baby. On the back, written in neat cursive, "Told you I never lied." Mark dropped the photo like it burned. Was it real? Or just another game? He called Val. "Again. She's back," he said. Val's tone was cold steel. "She wants you to react. Don't." Mark stared at the photo. But what haunted him wasn't Jade. It was Erin's words. "You're still you." Was he? Or had Jade changed something in him forever? Chapter 6. Public Reckoning. 2 weeks later, Mark Renner was awakened by his phone buzzing angrily on the nightstand. Texts, calls, emails, dozens of notifications all at once. Never a good sign. He opened a text from Val first. "Check the news immediately." Mark's stomach dropped. He sat up, pulse racing, eyes straining at the glowing screen. A headline flashed across his news alerts. "Exclusive, therapist accused of misconduct speaks out. Victim shares her story." The featured image. Jade, holding a baby. Eyes red, expression pained, vulnerable, perfectly victimized. Mark's breath caught. She'd gone public. The interview. Mark clicked the link, already feeling nausea rise. There she was, tearful, sitting opposite a sympathetic reporter. Her voice shook convincingly. "I trusted him. He knew everything about me. My vulnerabilities. My losses. He told me he cared. That therapy would heal me. Instead, he seduced me. Controlled me." The reporter leaned in. "You've alleged you became pregnant during this period?" Jade nodded slowly. "He pressured me to terminate. When I refused, he began stalking me, threatening me. He destroyed my reputation." Mark's hands shook violently, lies wrapped in perfect layers of truth. Carefully rehearsed and surgically delivered. The final blow? Jade's voice, fragile and trembling. All I wanted was to heal. Instead, I became a victim again. The segment ended on Jade clutching her baby protectively. Mark closed his eyes. He was finished. Public outrage. The backlash came swiftly. His voicemail filled with threats. His email inbox overflowed with hate-filled messages. Mark's social media, already minimal, was bombarded by strangers branding him a predator, a disgrace. Even his neighbors gave him sideways glances, whispers passing behind curtains. Within hours, a new official inquiry was launched by the board. Emergency hearing Mark sat before the same board members who'd previously given him a second chance. Only this time, the room felt colder, eyes harder. The chairwoman spoke first. "Dr. Renner, we've seen the news coverage. The allegations are severe. Have you anything to add before we deliberate?" Val spoke quickly. "We've previously provided documented evidence of Ms. Colburn's manipulations. This is a calculated media stunt. We urge the board to consider all the facts." A board member frowned deeply. "Facts may not matter when public trust is irreparably broken." Mark finally spoke, his voice shaking slightly. "I've made mistakes, but I've served my suspension and made amends. Jade Colburn is lying." The room went silent. The chairwoman nodded. "We'll reconvene with our decision shortly." The verdict. It came faster than expected. Given the gravity and public nature of these allegations, the chairwoman began sternly. "We must immediately suspend your license indefinitely pending further review." Mark felt hollow. Indefinite suspension meant career death. No patience, no practice, no future. Later that evening, Mark was alone in his office, packing away certificates, diplomas, his career now boxed neatly into cardboard coffins. A knock on the door. He turned, surprised. It was Aaron Shaw. "What are you doing here?" he asked, weary. Aaron stepped inside, her expression serious but soft. "I saw the news. I needed you to know. I believe you." Mark sighed bitterly. "Why? You barely know me." "I know patterns. I know manipulation. And I know someone broken by it," Aaron replied quietly. Mark shook his head. "It doesn't matter anymore." She stepped closer, placing a gentle hand on his arm. "It does. I know Jade. Not personally, but her type. And I might be able to help." He looked up sharply. "How?" "By giving you evidence of her pattern," Aaron said softly. "I have something you need to see." Aaron's revelation. They met later at a quiet cafe. Aaron slid a folder across the table. Inside, printed emails and texts from another therapist. Another city. Another state. Different names. But the same story. The same manipulation. The same fake pregnancy. The same career-ending accusations. Aaron explained carefully. "My sister was Jade's roommate in Phoenix. She bragged about destroying men she thought wronged her. Jade told her everything. Until she turned on her, too. I've kept these for months, never knowing if I'd need them." Mark's pulse quickened. "This proves she's done this before." Aaron nodded. "More than once." Mark exhaled deeply. "Why are you helping me?" "Because someone needs to stop her," Aaron said firmly. "And maybe I need to break my pattern too." Mark and Val prepared the counterattack. Armed with Aaron's evidence, they built a new narrative. This wasn't about revenge, it was justice. Val quickly filed a motion for reconsideration with the board, attaching everything. Emails, texts, affidavits from previous victims, Jade's pattern of destruction, and lies. But they didn't stop there. They also contacted the reporter who aired Jade's interview, handing over undeniable proof, real names, dates, details. And finally, Mark did something he'd avoided for months. He agreed to his own interview. Mark's redemption. In front of the same reporter, Mark sat calmly, honestly. "I made mistakes, But Jade Colburn was never a victim. She orchestrated everything, not just with me, but before, and likely again after. The reporter displayed Aaron's evidence clearly for the cameras, showing Jade's repeated cycle of manipulation, false pregnancies, and destructive lies. "Do you want revenge, Dr. Renner?" the reporter asked. Mark shook his head slowly. "No, I want healing. For everyone involved." Public opinion shifts. The response was immediate and massive. The public quickly turned their anger toward Jade. Sympathy for Mark surged. Previous therapists came forward, affirming the pattern. Jade's former roommate publicly supported Aaron's story. Within days, Jade vanished from public view. But this time, Mark knew better. She'd resurface. She always did. Mark's license reinstated weeks later. The board issued a formal apology and reinstated Mark's license, citing overwhelming evidence of wrongful accusations. Mark stood alone in his restored office, certificates back on the wall, ethics books stacked neatly on shelves. But he felt no victory. He knew Jade still haunted him. Final text. As Mark locked up that night, his phone buzzed. A single message from an unknown number. "You won this round, Doctor, but games never end until someone quits, and I never quit." Mark stared at the message, knowing one thing clearly. He might have won today, but Jade would never truly leave his life unless he stopped her for good. Chapter 7, Final Session. Mark stood outside Jade's apartment building, heart pounding, palms sweating. Months of turmoil had brought him here. He was no longer her therapist, nor her victim. Tonight, he was something else, a survivor. He texted her one line, "I'm outside. Let's finish this." Seconds later, her reply buzzed in his hand, "Doors open." Inside Jade's apartment, the room was dimly lit. Soft music played, hauntingly familiar. Jade waited by the window, staring out into the city night. She wore white, a silk blouse that shimmered gently in moonlight. Mark stood still, guarded. "You came," she whispered, turning slowly. "To end this," he replied firmly. Jade smiled faintly. "You can't end us, Mark. We're connected forever now." Mark shook his head. "You don't control me anymore." Jade stepped closer. "Maybe not your career. But your mind? Your heart? I'm still there. You'll always wonder. Always question yourself." Mark steadied his breathing. "What do you want from me?" She paused, eyes suddenly sincere. "Admit it was real. That you loved me, even for a second." Mark hesitated, carefully choosing his words. "I felt something. But it wasn't love. It was desperation. Mine and yours. And now, it's time to let go." Her expression flickered. Hurt, anger, fear, all in one heartbeat. "I can't." "You have to," Mark said gently. Breaking Jade, she stepped away, sitting slowly on the edge of the sofa, eyes lowered. "You're not the first therapist I've done this to," she confessed quietly. "I know," Mark replied, voice steady. She looked up sharply. "Then why did you come here?" "To give you a chance," Mark said. "To stop running. To finally heal." Jade's eyes filled with tears. Real tears this time. "It's too late." "It's never too late," Mark insisted softly. "Tell the truth. End the lies." She shook her head. "The lies are all I have." "No," Mark said firmly. "You have more. You have the choice." Jade's breathing quickened. She stood abruptly, pacing nervously. "If I admit everything, they'll ruin me. My life will be over." Mark moved cautiously closer. "Your life ended when you started this, but you can still have a new one. Real this time." She faced him defiantly. "You'd help me? After everything?" Mark met her eyes without hesitation. "No, but I'll help you find someone who can." She hesitated, considering the offer, the genuine kindness in his voice unfamiliar and unsettling. The confession. 2 days later, Jade sat down once again with the same reporter. Alone, vulnerable, and finally truthful. I lied about everything, she admitted slowly. I was never pregnant with Mark's child. I targeted him. I used him. And I'm sorry. She explained her history of manipulation. Every victim. Every therapist. Every betrayal. The public watched, stunned into silence. The aftermath. Within days, Jade quietly surrendered herself for psychological treatment at a specialized inpatient facility. Mark received confirmation only through a brief email from the reporter. Mark felt relief, but no joy. Jade's departure from his life left a void, a strange silence where anxiety had once roared. Still, he knew he had done the right thing. Returning to normalcy weeks passed into months. Patience returned, trust slowly rebuilding. Mark found a deeper humility, a gentler strength. He spoke openly about his experiences at ethics seminars, warning others about boundaries, manipulation, and self-awareness. Jade never contacted him again. And slowly, life moved forward. 1 year later, Mark walked into his office, sunlight streaming warmly through the windows. A single envelope lay on his desk, unmarked, sealed. Inside, a handwritten note in familiar cursive. I'm getting better. I hope you are too. Thank you for giving me the chance to heal. Jade. He folded it gently and tucked it into a drawer, taking a deep, calm breath. The final truth. Mark realized something profound in that quiet moment. He'd started this journey believing he could heal others without healing himself. Now he understood the truth clearly. Every therapist has their wounds. But true strength wasn't hiding from pain, it was facing it, acknowledging it, and choosing to grow anyway. He was finally free, not from Jade, but from himself. Therapy looks good on paper, she admitted. Custody hearing. Mark kept his expression neutral. You have a child? Had. She looked away. Daughter. 5. Her name's Lola. Had. It lingered. A word that changed the room's pressure. Mark didn't press, not yet. He let her talk. That was his strategy. Give people enough space and they'd fill it with their own revelations. But Jade wasn't interested in being interpreted. She was interested in him. You're different from my last therapist, she said halfway through. You listen better. And you're not 65 and married to Beige. Mark tried to redirect. It's important to feel safe with a therapist. But what you're describing sounds more like attraction. She held his gaze. Is that wrong? He hesitated, long enough for her to notice. That's what I thought, she said, leaning forward. Maybe I make you uncomfortable. After she left, Mark sat alone in the room longer than usual. He reviewed his notes. No red flags. Nothing concrete. Just a feeling. But therapists are trained not to act on feelings without evidence. Still, he added a private line to her chart. Client may present with flirtatious undertones. Monitor for boundary testing. 1 week later, their second session began colder. Jade looked different, less curated. Hoodie, no makeup. Her eyes were puffy. I saw Lola this week, she whispered. Mark froze. She hadn't said the child was dead. Just not in her custody. But now her tone was softer, childlike. She doesn't remember me. Or maybe she does, and just doesn't care. He waited gently. Would you like to talk about what happened between you and her father? She didn't answer. Instead, she stood up and walked toward the window. I used to be someone, she said, back turned. I used to be worth watching. He followed her gaze, down to the street, the traffic. Her reflection hovered in the glass, ghostly. I don't want to do this today, she said finally. Can we just sit here? They did. In silence. No talking. Just presence. it was unconventional. But Mark told himself it was therapeutic. Some wounds don't speak right away. Week 3. She brought him coffee. Double espresso, no sugar. I asked your receptionist. Mark hesitated. Thank you, but I can't accept gifts from clients. Jade shrugged. It's just coffee, not a condo. He didn't drink it, but he didn't throw it away either. That afternoon, he found himself thinking about her more than he wanted. The way she watched him, the way she read him, and something else. A hunger. For connection? For validation? Or for control? Week 4. Jade came in late, hair damp, breathless. I almost didn't come, she said, tossing her purse on the couch. Why? I had a dream about you, she said casually. You want to know what happened? Mark didn't respond. She smirked. You were in my bed, but you were wearing a tie. He cleared his throat. Jade, therapy is not a place for sexual fantasy. I want to remind you that there are rules, she cut in. Yeah, yeah. Power dynamics, code of ethics. I've read it all. But let's be honest, doctor. You think about me too. He didn't answer, but silence was enough. Jade leaned back on the couch and crossed her legs. Tell me I'm wrong. Week 5. He should have transferred her to another therapist. He should have documented everything in detail. He should have said no when she asked for a session outside normal hours. But Mark Renner was human. And late one Thursday night, after the office lights were dim and the world outside felt quiet, she showed up at his private door. Can we talk? She asked, eyes wide, tears down her cheek. He let her in. That night, the boundary broke. And in that moment, in the soft creak of the bedroom floor, in the whispered names, in the careful removal of regret, they were no longer therapist and client. They were something else, something doomed. And neither of them would leave that room the same. Chapter 2. Seduction in Sessions. It began with a kiss. Not passionate, not planned. Just a quiet kiss in the half-dark of Mark Renner's living room, where he thought he was helping a distraught patient. Jade's mascara was streaked. Her hands trembled. She leaned on him like grief had collapsed her spine. And when her lips found his, he didn't pull away. Not right away. Not until after. The next morning, Mark sat in his office before sunrise. No patience. Just silence and shame. He hadn't slept. The sheets still smelled like her perfume, rose water and something darker. He replayed the night in pieces, her trembling voice, the heat of her skin, the way she looked at him like she'd finally won. She had. Mark knew the ethics, knew the consequences, but what haunted him more than what happened was how much he wanted it. That evening, Jade returned to her regular time slot like nothing had changed. She wore a cream sweater, no bra, and a grin that said she already knew his answer to every question. You okay, doctor? He didn't speak. You're quiet today, she added, curling up on the couch like a cat in a sunbeam. Is it because I kissed you? Or because you kissed me back? Jade, he began. No, she said, cutting him off gently. Don't do that. Don't go back into doctor mode. Last night wasn't therapy. That was real. Mark stood, pacing slightly, a hand running through his hair. It was a breach. It was unethical. And it can't happen again. Jade tilted her head. Then why haven't you reported it? Silence. I could ruin you, she added softly. But I won't. Because I care about you. Mark turned to her. Is that a threat? It's a reminder. Her voice was velvet over steel. We're in this together now. Weeks passed. They resumed sessions. On paper, nothing changed. But between the lines, everything had. Jade's behavior grew bolder. She crossed her legs slower, lingered after hours, left lipstick on the edge of his glass, called him Mark instead of Dr. Renner. Sometimes they had sex in his office, on the couch meant for catharsis. And each time, Mark told himself it was the last. But each time, he answered her call. One day, Jade brought in a phone. She placed it on the desk between them. "What if we recorded our sessions?" she said playfully. "Like a podcast?" Mark frowned. "Absolutely not. Just audio," she teased. "It could help me remember things." He said no, firmly. But later that night, when he opened his laptop, he found an anonymous email. Subject: Therapist Confidential. Attached: a 30-second audio clip. Her voice moaning, his voice whispering her name. He slammed the lid shut. She'd been recording him. He confronted her. Jade didn't deny it. "Relax," she said. "It's just insurance, in case you get weird and try to ghost me." Mark's voice cracked. "This is blackmail." "No," she said calmly. "This is balance. I lose custody of my kid because I'm unstable. But a respected therapist has a meltdown in my bed and walks away clean?" She paused. "Not anymore." Mark felt the walls closing in. His license, his name, his future, all wrapped around her finger. He tried to end it. "No more sessions. I'll refer you out." Jade shrugged. "That's fine. But you might want to check with your board before you do. You know, just to see how they handle sexual misconduct complaints." Mark went to a lawyer. He sat across from an old colleague, a malpractice defense attorney named Valentina Cortez. "You're asking me hypothetically, right?" she said. Mark didn't answer. Val sighed. "You're screwed. Even if she seduced you, even if it was mutual, she's still the patient. You're the professional. Power imbalance makes it your responsibility." Mark looked hollow. "Can I get ahead of it?" Val leaned in. "How much does she know? How much evidence does she have?" "Too much," he said. Val stood. "Then you better pray she doesn't want money or revenge." He tried ghosting. Her stopped answering texts, blocked her number. She showed up at his house. First night, knock on the door. No answer. Second night, lipstick on his windshield. Third night, a note in his mailbox. "You don't get to erase me." Then came the twist. 3 weeks after he cut ties, he received a letter. Handwritten, scented, familiar. Inside was a pregnancy test. Positive. And a note. "It's yours. Don't make me raise this baby alone." Mark dropped the letter like it burned. The test was real. The handwriting, unmistakable. But something was off. Jade had told him, back in session one, she'd lost custody of a child. She'd also said she had a daughter. Past tense. There was no baby then, and there wasn't one now. Mark knew it was a lie. But proving it? That would cost him everything. Chapter 3. Psychological Warfare. Mark Renner sat at his desk, staring at the unopened manila envelope on his lap. Inside were the results of a private blood test he had taken 3 days earlier. He hadn't responded to Jade's pregnancy claim. He hadn't texted, emailed, or called. But in secret, he'd done the only thing he could think of: verify if it was even biologically possible. He hadn't seen her in almost a month. No sessions, no calls, no sex. And now, one envelope stood between him and the truth. Or another lie. He ripped it open. Negative. Jade wasn't pregnant. Not now. Not by him. Maybe not ever. It should have been a relief. But all Mark felt was dread, because the lie wasn't the trap. It was the bait. That evening, he got the call he was afraid of. "Dr. Renner?" The voice was polite, official. "This is Andrea Jameson from the California Board of Behavioral Sciences. We've received a formal complaint of sexual misconduct from a former client, Jade Colburn. You are advised to retain counsel. A preliminary investigation will begin immediately." Mark went numb. The truth didn't matter anymore. Jade's version. In her complaint, Jade claimed the relationship began during a vulnerable period in her life. She alleged Mark initiated physical contact during sessions. She said he promised to help her get custody back in exchange for intimacy. She called him manipulative, said he'd pressured her, that he'd encouraged sexual contact under the pretense of therapy. She said she told him she was pregnant, and that he emotionally abused her when she told him she wanted to keep the baby. It was a narrative designed to shatter his career. And the worst part? There were fragments of truth woven into every lie. Mark's attorney, Val, didn't sugarcoat it. "They're not interested in your side," she told him. "They're interested in protecting the public." "I didn't coerce her," Mark insisted. Val didn't flinch. "Doesn't matter. You crossed a line. That's enough. The board can suspend your license based on perception and client vulnerability alone. You'll have a chance to respond, but you're already losing the court of public opinion." Mark buried his face in his hands. Val continued, gentler now. "The only way out is to prove she's lying, that she planned this, that this wasn't a powerless client, but a calculated predator." Mark exhaled. "I need her phone, her recordings. Proof she set me up." Val gave him a look. "That's dangerous territory. You can't break into her privacy, not without risking prison." "I don't care anymore," he whispered. Meanwhile, Jade was winning the story. She posted on social media cryptic quotes, vague references to betrayal by someone in power. A few likes, a few shares, nothing viral, but enough to build a digital record. Enough to imply a pattern. Then came a blog post. Anonymous, but clearly written by her. "He told me I mattered, that I wasn't broken. Then he used my trauma like a match, lit me up, and left me burning. I may be just one patient, but I won't stay silent anymore." The blog was picked up by a mental health subreddit, and from there, it spread. Mark lost clients 3 cancellations in 1 week, then 6. By the end of the month, his calendar was nearly empty. Referrals dried up. Professional friends went cold. Even his receptionist, Dana, asked for a leave of absence. "Just until things settle down," she said awkwardly. Mark's office, once a quiet place of comfort, became a tomb. Every clock tick echoed like judgment. Mark began digging. He scoured Jade's social media accounts, tracked comments, timestamps. He found an old Instagram post, Jade on a boat with a man tagged a Jackson Sinclair. The timestamp? 2 weeks before her alleged pregnancy. Mark clicked through the account. It was private, but the profile pic showed Jade kissing the man on the cheek. Another lie unraveling. He needed more. A dangerous idea. Mark contacted one of his former patients, Ava, a nurse practitioner he once treated for stress-related insomnia. Their sessions had ended ethically over a year ago. He needed help. Discreet, clinical help. "I need you to help me get access to a file," he said. "I think she's faked medical records." Ava hesitated. "That could cost me my job." Mark nodded. "I know." She paused, then agreed. What they found, Ava's contact inside the clinic Jade claimed to visit, shared confidential info over encrypted email. No pregnancy tests on file for Jade Colburn. No visits in the past 60 days. No OBGYN consults. No insurance activity. Jade hadn't even gone to a doctor. It was all fabricated. And now, Mark had the proof. He filed a response. Through Val, Mark submitted a counterstatement to the board. Confirmed a sexual relationship after formal therapy was discontinued. Provided digital timestamps showing Jade's harassment. Enclosed Ava's medical verification, anonymized for protection. Attached screenshots of flirtatious texts, the fake pregnancy test, and her veiled threats. Val warned him, "Even with all this, they might still suspend you. But it gives us leverage." Then came the Aji, Visit Jade showed up at his doorstep. At night. Again. She didn't knock. Just stood there in a silk trench coat holding something in her hand. A flash drive. "I'm tired," she said, "of pretending, of pushing." Mark didn't respond. She held the drive out. "It's everything. The recordings, the blog drafts, even the script I was going to send to a podcast. You win." He didn't take it. "Why now?" he asked. Her eyes glistened. "Because I realized, even when I win, I still lose. You never love me." Chapter 4. Breaking the Frame. Mark didn't move. The flash drive trembled in Jade's hand, but her face was calm, eerily so. Her trench coat caught the porch light, glowing like a ghost. She wasn't here to beg. She wasn't here to confess. She was handing him her power, and daring him to take it. Finally, he stepped forward and accepted the flash drive without a word. Jade smiled, a sad, hollow smile. "You're not the man I thought you were." Mark stared at her. "Neither are you." She turned and walked into the night. No apology, no closure, just distance. Inside his home. Mark sat down, inserted the flash drive, and opened the folder. Dozens of audio files, one named Session 05, Bedroom Full.wave. He clicked it, the sound of rustling sheets, her moans, his voice. Her whisper, "Say it again." "I shouldn't be doing this." He stopped it. Another file. Voice. Memo, Jade to self. He clicked that one too. "So, this is the plan. If he tries to cut me off, I'll say I'm pregnant. If he still pushes away, I go public. Simple. Get what I can. And maybe take him down, just for fun." Mark leaned back in his chair, stunned. It was all there. Premeditated. She had recorded herself plotting everything. Proof of her manipulation. This wasn't about love. This was about control. He sent the files to Val. The next morning, she called him breathless. "This is gold. It's over. We can bury her credibility with this." Mark didn't celebrate. He just asked one question. "What happens to her?" Val paused. "Nothing criminal unless you press charges. The board might investigate her if she's under therapy herself, but mostly, she just disappears." Mark nodded slowly. "Good." But that night, he didn't sleep. Not because he was afraid, but because he couldn't decide what kind of man he wanted to be. Now, he'd been manipulated, violated, set up. But he had also broken the oath, crossed the line, slept with someone he swore to help. Was it mutual? Yes. Was it ethical? No. And even with all the files, the damage was already done. Board hearing. 30 days later. Mark stood in front of a long mahogany table, facing 3 evaluators and 2 attorneys. Val stood beside him, calm, sharp. The opposing counsel presented Jade's original complaint, accompanied by excerpts from the recordings she had submitted. Edited, cropped, weaponized. Then Val stood. She played the full versions, the manipulation, the planning, the faked pregnancy. And finally, the voice memo where Jade admitted she was never pregnant at all. The room went still. One of the board members shook his head in disbelief. Decision. No criminal charges, no immediate revocation of license. But 6-month suspension. Required ethics re-education. Supervised return with bi-monthly audits. Mark accepted it. He wouldn't run. He wouldn't hide. He would rebuild. Meanwhile, Jade vanished. She deleted her social media. She moved out of her apartment. No forwarding address. No follow-up complaint. Some said she moved to Arizona. Others believed she found another therapist. Another Mark. Mark didn't care anymore. He was done looking over his shoulder. But he also knew. Women like Jade don't disappear. They just change cities. Mark returned to practice. Quietly, he moved to a smaller office across town. He no longer decorated with soft lighting and candles. No couch either. just two chairs, two pens, one locked filing cabinet, and a new intake rule. All sessions are recorded, with consent. He'd become the thing he once resented. Guarded, watchful, but alive. One final email. Months later, a message landed in his inbox. No subject line. From unknown, protonmail.com. You were the only one who ever listened, even if I hated you for it. I lied about everything. But the baby, there was a baby. Once. And I lost it. Long before I ever met you. You just became the stand-in for every man who left. I'm sorry. I think. Goodbye. No signature. Just silence. Mark stared at the screen, then closed the laptop, and walked away. Chapter 5. A New Face, An Old Pattern. 6 months later. The office smelled like nothing. No.